It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike.
Ho, ho, ho. Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas to all the gearheads out there. This is our big Christmas spectacular. We've got guest stars and presents, and we've got the original Christmas carols.
Presents?
Ooh. Oh, just the whole, it's a real Christmas show today. No, same shit as always. Now, the real question is, Ken Laird's Twitter is up on this computer. Caitlin doesn't want to do anything with it. I say we go crazy. We start giving people jobs.
All right.
And Mark James is full time. Chris Curtis is fired.
We could
get him back down on the drinking path again. We could do some damage here with this Twitter account. But we'll decide by the end of the show.
See, I was just thinking like we should just tweet a selfie or something from his account. You're like, oh, we're going to fire people.
No. Caitlin's got very cute ideas. I'm a big picture guy. How do we get noticed, you know?
Be something racist off his account.
I would never dare. Now the voice you hear, folks, I have to apologize, but keep in mind, it's Christmas time. Find it in your heart. This is the last time. I'm giving him one last chance because I heard you. The gearhead spoke to me last week, and the reception was not good for Colin Letty. But I said, you know what? In the honor of Christmas, in the name of Saint Nick, I'll give him one last shot to prove himself, and that's what he's back for today. Colin, how did you feel
about
all
shit
the
about any of those
about all the you don't I, care about them.
No,
well, they're the listeners of this
they're
program.
They're the ones listening to me. What do I care about them?
Well, they're the ones listening to this program.
There's three,
and their right, opinions right. decide there, your fate.
There's like four accounts. The I can't believe I'm talking about fake Twitter accounts right now, but. The Callahan
you should
one.
Be.
The Callahan
you promote this
one.
Show more than anyone. They're all I've got, baby. All
right, whatever. SV Callahan, he's a fan.
No, I have not heard that.
He's not a. He's indifferent.
Okay.
Which is a
See,
win.
Now that's. You mentioned to me, I said this to you before, that the fans aren't hating you. You said not all of them. And that's true. Most of the people on the planet, by a large majority,
right.
have said nothing about you.
Yes.
Billions of people have kept quiet on this issue.
Exactly.
Those who have spoken out, unanimous, we hear what you're offering, and we say no thanks.
All right. I mean, do you know how many people listen to this show?
I don't have any idea. All right,
so how many
Twitter... get those numbers somehow.
How many fake Twitter accounts are there? Let's say there's six.
But they're real people running them.
How do you even know they're not the same people? You don't know that. They literally could be one person. It might be you.
It would be a lot of work.
It might be you.
It would be a lot of work.
I'm not 100.
If all the accounts that tweet about this show, was if it was one guy.
It wouldn't be that much
work. It would be a lot of work. Yeah.
What do you mean? A tweet takes like all of 20 seconds. I don't like this guy.
No. You're misunderstanding. If you look at the accounts and how often each of them tweets, that would be a lot.
Right, no, that would be, I guess, somewhat time-consuming. Not on like a real-world scale.
And you can say it's only a few people. The people that listen to this show don't like it.
What about the Sportsy McKenzie?
I've heard nothing good.
They've tweeted at
me
saying, not bad.
I've not heard that. But, hey, folks.
Who is the one
girl that
doesn't?
Here's what we're going to do.
Hey.
Here's what we're going to do. In honor of Christmas, I'm giving you one last shot. So what we're going to do, this show will be out at roughly 4:30, whatever we're done here.
I like that, yep, 4:30.
So I'll give you folks a few hours, and then I'll put up a Twitter poll at around 8 p.m., prime time. And I'll say, you know, Colin Letty, yay or nay. And
we can vote.
People are going to say yay.
No, they're going to say nay, but that's just no one.
Well,
would,
hey,
no one.
That's the public,
no
baby.
One, no one,
Trump's in office because the people spoke.
No one in just general society, let alone this one small demographic of people, are going to vote yes for me.
Well, that's
not
the small demographic of the people that listen to this show.
They don't think I should be on, but that
they don't like you.
That they just don't like me.
They don't want to hear you.
They've never said that specifically.
Well, we'll find out.
I'm okay not being liked.
Gearheads, be honest with me. Don't do what you think is funny or what I want.
My voice must be heard.
Give a real answer. Do you think Colin's good, yes or no? Because this will be the final decision.
Letty, this gives you plenty
of time.
You're
letting the people decide. It's your show.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time to lobby and create
right.
your own parody
you
accounts.
You can text all of your friends.
Yeah.
Get them all
can
to
Can I
vote.
Make a parody Gilroy account? Yeah, that'll get some buzz.
We'll just be boring Celtics talk?
Yeah.
Terrific. No, I love Gilroy. Speaking of casting couch members and bit players here at WEI, there's an official... This show now has an official third man of the Mutt and Callahan show. We're lobbying for someone, and I did not expect to be doing this, but I'm fully behind one Alex Reamer to be full-time on the Mutt and Callahan show, and it's purely because, I mean, what else is there? Because there are too many days where I've tuned in and heard Andy Hart trying to get tough with Mutt. I was like, I don't understand what this bit is. And then, or Greg Dickerson yelling, just talking loud, or not showing up. I met Greg Dickerson once. He was a very, very nice guy to me. But it's like, hey, if you're going to complain about Chris Curtis not giving enough notice, maybe it's just not for you. And even Tomasi, I like Tomasi on the show. But it's like then every week you hear he doesn't want to come in Friday because he's got a family party on Saturday. What the hell are you doing? The one guy that shows up when they want him to show up, no matter what, and gets the vibe of the show, and you know he adds to the product. That is Alex Reamer. So clearly, I don't make the decisions here, and that's very clear.
You don't.
But if I did,
newsflash,
my guy would be Alex Reamer. No, obviously I don't make the decisions here, because for some bizarre reason, I was brought in for a meeting. 3 weeks ago, or whatever it was now, and I was told, you know, we don't see it with you on air, which I was like, okay, what? I want you to bring me in to tell me that. Like, I got that. When you didn't put me on air, that's how I figured out you didn't want me on air.
I
picked that up.
You're not the EI guy though anymore. Once Kirk left, that I feel like that was it.
Well, you're on to something, my friend, because
don't play coy. What does that mean? I want to know what that means.
Well, first of all, what I think it means from the eyes of the EEI people, I now believe, and I believed it at the time, but I didn't want to say it, I was being a good boy. But what I believe to be the case is that I was seen as a Minahan guy. I was Team Kirk. That's how I was viewed by the people that know who I am here and the people who make decisions. I'm Team Kirk. And, I who I'm talking. I'm Zerbano is obviously who I'm talking. I think he sees me at Team Kirk, as Team Kirk. I think the fact that I am also Team Portnoy probably doesn't help. I don't know. That was never mentioned to me. I don't know that weighs into
that decision. You picked enemies. That's
but
why.
Well, okay.
Ones who have supported you, mind you. I mean, I get it.
Come on, yeah. Who am I going to pick?
But a guy
that looked me in the eye and said, I don't see it with you. I don't see any talent in you. Or a guy who did see talent in me, brought me in, gave me every opportunity in Dave Portnoy, still talks about me to this day. There's love there between he and I. And a guy like Minahan, who's done my podcast multiple times when he hasn't needed to. And I'm in some discussions with him now. We'll see. But should I be loyal to those guys, or should I be loyal to the guy that says, I don't see it. I think you stink. It's like, okay, that's fine. You can absolutely think I stink, but then don't ask me to be loyal to you. And so the vibe
of... He has all the cards, though. That's the thing.
Well, right.
Zarbano has all the cards. So
let me tell you something.
Who do you want to go with? I mean, right now, Portnoy... He's not hiring you.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Dave Portnoy, which is why I will always respect him. Is that Dave Portnoy gave me a chance, gave me every opportunity, really, gave me a chance to blog there. He had me in on the Rundown. I did Adam Carolla's show a few times. He looked for every opportunity.
He also threw a wallet at your face.
I understand that, but that. Yes.
But that was part of
that's
this.
How you, I fit in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, that's how you knew you were going to.
He didn't,
you being cool with it.
He didn't follow me home and do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? He did that for content, and I was in on that. I was part of the bit. So
right. You knew that going in that was going to be part of it.
And Portnoy has admitted now on Barstool Radio, just a few weeks ago, said maybe we misused Mike. He goes, he's good on the podcast. And that's why I'll always respect Portnoy. And they brought me back. I'm in the documentary that's coming out. So that's why there's loyalty there, because he saw something in me and tried to make that happen. And it's on me, the fact that it didn't happen at Barstool, because I got kind of lazy there and complacent, and I got angry that maybe I wasn't doing the things I wanted to be doing. So it bred laziness, and that's why I'm not doing that here.
Yeah, but
that's why I keep coming in to do the podcast every week, even though they tell me I suck.
What's better, like? Portnoy can say all the nice things he wants.
No, he doesn't say nice things about me.
Portnoy doesn't?
No.
You just said he talked.
No. He said maybe we misused it. That's
right.
Not a nice thing. That's being honest. That's something Portnoy does only when it's 100% honest. Maybe we misused him.
But I'm saying right now.
He tried. And what I'm saying is there's no trying here. It's, hey, you haven't gotten in line, so we're not going to give you an opportunity. No matter what we see from you in talent.
But you have this
No matter what
podcast.
We see, that you've grown an audience completely by yourself. The station doesn't promote my show. Completely by myself, I've grown an audience for this show. Whether, you know, it's a very small cult following.
Bunch of jerks.
Nice guys, I would say.
That's
and
not
gals.
The way to get them to like you.
I don't want them to like me.
Oh, okay.
Well, good. You're right on track. But I've done it completely by myself with the help of Rob Bradford. If it wasn't for Bradford, I wouldn't be here at all. Rob Bradford's a guy that gave me a chance. No one else has given me a chance here. Yeah, Patrick Gilroy is a guy who gave me a chance. Arcan gave me a chance before all of them. So these are guys that gave me opportunities. What I got from that meeting is, we have no interest in giving you a chance, but, and okay, that's fine. No interest in giving me a chance. But we see maybe you could be a producer, which I find odd. Again, it's weird to have me.
I did love that.
It's weird to have me do a job I physically cannot do. For me to say, I can't see the fucking computers, and to be like,
try it anyway.
Bump in the road. It's a minor obstacle. But now I found out that was a lie.
Are there any Braille-friendly equipment that they can use?
None in here.
Not that I know of. I'll get to that.
Braille?
I don't. No. But I'll get to that. A guy who used to work here, if you're a hardcore EEI fan from back in the day, if you listen to like The Big Show and all that, you might remember this guy named Pete Gustin. Who would do bits, like, you know, he did the Ordway impression, the Pete Shepherd impression and all that. And he would do bits, back when the station did bits. That was all
Wiener Pete, Weiner line.
That was all Pete Gustin. No, that was Andy. But the little bits were Pete Gustin. Pete Gustin's a guy who's legally blind. And I've heard his name for that reason before. It's been brought up to me. And he's, you know, an excellent producer. Now he's the voice of Fox News and other stuff. So Pete Gustin's very successful, legally blind. So Zarbano said, well, you know, let's get you in touch with him. So maybe he can show you the ropes, how to be a blind producer. I said, all right, that's great. And then he said, hey, I'll also put you in touch with Ken and Curtis, and maybe you can shadow them. Because what Curtis does is not board op. He, you know, what he does is more book guests, come up with topics, get the rundown at night, all that kind of stuff. So maybe you can shadow them. Neither of those things happened.
Did you follow up?
I did.
With what, an email?
Yes. I sent an email the next day.
To who?
What do you think?
To
the guy I met with.
Well, I didn't know if you meant
yeah.
Chris.
No,
Curtis,
I sent an email the next day saying, hey, thanks a lot for taking the time to meet with me. Also, you mentioned this name Mark Dundaro to me, who I don't know who that is. I looked him up. He does EEI Providence.
He's a Bryant grad. Well, Shout out.
Terrific.
Great.
Yeah. So I said, you know, Mark Dundaro, I guess. That name was brought up to me in that meeting. Joe said to me, I think you're behind that guy. Like, to me, I don't see any difference between you and Mark Dundaro, I believe was the quote. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know who the hell Mark Dundaro is, but if he's as good as me, good for him. Congratulations. So I found out he did EEI Providence stuff. And when it was clear to me I was not getting on the air here, probably ever, I said, hey, you know, thanks for reaching out and taking the time to meet with me. I appreciate it. Also, I saw that this guy does EEI Providence stuff sometimes. Do you think that's a route that I could take to get on the air? No response. Now, what I believe this to be is this was a meeting to say, hey, get in line. You're loyal to me or you're loyal to Kirk. And I don't know why it has to be mutually exclusive. I would have been very loyal. And I still am. I am loyal to EEI. I'd love to be on air here. But I don't know why it has to be one or the other, where now I have to disown Kirk and I can't say nice things about him.
Because
when he was a guy, who gives a fuck? He didn't rip me.
But who
I'm not trashing EEI.
Nice.
I'm defending Kirk. I don't get why defending Kirk can't be allowed.
Because Kirk doesn't have the keys to the airwaves. Zarbano
but if you're in broadcasting, everyone in this building should be defending Kirk. Because what happened to him was 1,000,000% wrong. He got a number one show taken away from him. For doing nothing. They used his mental illness as an excuse to get rid of him. I don't see how that's not blatantly wrong to everyone. So when I defend him, because of those reasons, and because he's also a guy who's been good to me, I don't get why that's wrong and I'm told not to do it. So that's been very frustrating. But that is my message to the gearheads that I will probably never be on WEEI. I've been on before, and that was a great honor, but at this point, I will probably never be on the airwaves. But I am I'm happy doing this podcast, and I'm glad Bradford has given me that opportunity. Hopefully, no one else tries to take that away from me. But I like doing the podcast. I'm going to continue to keep doing it and doing it well and bringing in listeners to their website, which, again, I don't know why that wasn't looked at when it was like, I don't see it. It's like, okay, maybe you don't see it. But I'm bringing in people. And people who are fans of the number one morning show in the country. So why wasn't that a factor? I have no idea. But since it will never be me, that was the long way of saying this was, since it will never be me, I fully endorse Alex Reamer. Apparently he may be, if I'm allowed to ever do the podcast again after this, I think we're shooting for January with Reamer. I haven't talked to him, but he tweeted back at me and said, I'll do the podcast sometime. Again, and I said, "All right, Al, you come on in."
Al,
big Al.
I like Reamer. It's weird,
Natick guy,
because we might be complete opposites in every way. Except I am a very closeted gay man. Don't tell my girlfriend.
How deep?
But other than that, I'm just waiting to come out, knocking at the door,
seeing Christmas presents.
So other than that, I think we're pretty much opposite in every way. And, but, you know, maybe that's what adds to it. Maybe that's why I like him on air. Because you kind of need a guy that's polarizing. And I don't think you're getting that from any other...
A contrarian?
Any other outlet. Yeah, a bit of a contrarian.
I think he challenges Jerry pretty well.
Yeah.
Compliments Mutt.
On certain things. If I had one problem with Reamer, it would be that, you know, say Jerry's out one day, and it's Mutt, Callahan, and Dickerson, Reamer will go right into... Let's talk sports.
Mm.
Company man. And you know what? Maybe I should take some tips from him. Because obviously being the other way, it doesn't work for me. But that's my one problem with Reamer. And I don't think he would have a problem with me saying that. I'm sure he would disagree. But we can talk about that whenever he's on the whenever he's on the program. Now, speaking of sticking to sports, when you guys asked me what the topics were today, sports. I said, let's talk some Patriots. Because I want to prove prove that I can do it. You know, I'll never be on the air here at WEI. But if it were, if I were, it would sound a little something like this. So, no, I'm not going to do a bit. I actually will talk Patriots. Because I believe now, more than ever, and I said this over the summer. In fact, if you go to any of my WEI late night appearances with Patrick Gilroy, you'll hear me saying this. That I believe Bill Belichick sabotaged the season by just tanking. Essentially tanking. This for the Patriots is tanking, being 9-5. Because what I believe happened is Belichick had Garoppolo taken away from him. And then, the players turned on him in the Super Bowl and after the Super Bowl with the Malcolm Butler thing and then the Gronk thing. And essentially, the Guerrero thing, everything Brady has done the last year plus has had the players turn against Belichick. And Belichick said, all right, you know what this offseason will be? Ooh, we'll kick our feet up and have some fun. Hey, show up whenever you want. We'll go to a movie. We'll catch some flicks together. It's all sunshine and rainbows. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that now. The fruits of that lack of labor. Where Brady's not the same. And I don't think it's due to age as much as, just lack of effort. And the rest of the team's not the same.
Lack of effort
what? Lack of effort all offseason. Every year of Brady's career, he's been the guy with that parking spot who shows up early and leaves late. And he's the hardest worker on the team. This year he wasn't that, yet expected to be the exact same guy he's always been. At 41.
I mean, he missed OTAs. Right. I understand, from my perspective, it does start. It's like a 9-month thing. You get a month off from the season, and then you go. But I mean, at least he didn't miss OTAs to stick it to Belichick this year.
I think he did.
No, I think it was a compromise with Giselle saying, "Hey, you're getting up there in age. Your kids are growing up. We need something. We need a little bit more.
Okay.
And if it's going to be something, it had to be OTAs."
Well, then that's the mentality I'm talking about. Where
sure,
it should
I'm
be.
Just saying
it should be. I'm getting up there in age, so I need all the preparation I can get. If I needed that when I was 35 and when I was 25, I certainly need it when I'm 41.
But sometimes when you start too early, you kind of get burnt out by, week 7. It hasn't happened to him before, but every year his body's changing.
And Brady has preached the importance of OTAs and everything. And this year he was like, I guess I was lying. I think Belichick saw that, and he saw that resonating with the rest of the team. And he said, all right, we'll kick our feet up this summer. And I think you're seeing what happened with that now.
I would say, from reports, Belichick and Brady's relationship have never been better, and I think that has a lot.
That's bullshit.
I think that has a lot to do with Garoppolo getting hurt. I think they both looked at it and they were like, "That was supposed to be our next quarterback."
I don't think
absolutely.
No, because Garoppolo wouldn't be hurt if it would be a different
scenario.
Sure,
but it still happened. I mean, the grass isn't greener, is what I'm saying. He went to San Fran, and he's not playing this year. And they were supposed to be top dogs in the NFC, or at least contenders. And now they're not. Now they're nothing.
Well,
they were nothing without.
I'll counter that with saying, now Belichick looks at Brady struggling, and says, "Well, now I've got nothing."
Well, let's look at struggling.
Now the future is nothing.
They're not dead. This is Patriot.
That's struggling for the Patriots. You see it getting better next year, and the year after, and the year after that. I don't think so.
Why?
If they, why would it?
I think this year
the best quarterback ever.
I would say it was on Belichick.
Is getting old. He's going to be done soon, if not now. And going forward, it's only going to get worse.
I would
comment.
I mean, look, it is on Brady because he's playing poorly at inopportune times. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, I just don't think I think they gutted the roster. I mean, you got rid of Deion Lewis. You got rid of their left tackle.
I understand. People said that every year. People said, how are they going to play?
No,
with
they
this
have.
Rock? It's Brady and nobody else. You have Edelman, you have Gronk.
Edelman's
you have
pass
James,
is prime.
You have James
Gronk
White.
Gronk is a non-factor this year. He's been getting double teamed his whole career.
Well, that's my entire point.
This year,
that's my entire point. Belichick wanted to trade Gronk also.
It would have been
It would have been a great move.
I was saying
they cut Belichick's balls off with the Garoppolo thing. They did it again. They cut one of his nuts off with the Garoppolo thing. They cut the other one off with the Gronk thing. He can't make moves. The guy's made every move correctly for a decade and a half. Then all of a sudden, the biggest decisions of the franchise history come up. They don't let him make those decisions. And he said, all right, this is what we'll do now then. I guess we'll let Robert Kraft and Tom Brady run the team. Mm. And this is what you get. You get a 9-5 team, maybe 10-6, 11-5, however they finish. Be bounced by, I mean, maybe they'll make the AFC Championship game if some stroke of luck happens, but they won't win the Super Bowl.
I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes is 0-3 in his three biggest games this year. We haven't seen any of these guys in the playoffs, and right. We know when it's playoff time. Now they have Edelman, now they have Gronk.
Well, here's what I'll say. If they play in the playoffs, then at the very least, I would still believe I'm right, because I think being 9-5, if they end up going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl, I think being 9-5 was certainly a wake-up call.
Sure.
Otherwise, I don't think you'll lose to the Dolphins and the Steelers in these.
I mean, the
abysmal...
Dolphins was a fluke game, game.
But it shouldn't have been that close to begin with.
The Dolphins aren't a slouch this year. I mean, they have to play the Patriots twice a year, and
no. But if Tom Brady was himself and this offense was what it usually
Tom
is,
Brady threw three touchdowns that game.
Yeah,
he was not the issue at all. The issue is it was the coaching decisions. First of all, having Gronk out there when it's a 60-70 yard throw, and then also not going for it on the one yard line. Is he not that confident in his defense that they can stop a field goal with 35 seconds left?
Belichick has made some decisions where it's like
they don't have a defensive coordinator by name,
right?
But
that's happened before too,
and they're 29th in sacks. The pass rush is terrible. Gilmore's the only guy in the secondary who's really made a huge impact.
Yeah, and I'm saying every other year,
personnel-wise,
every other year there's been a way to turn around from that, and this year I don't see it happening.
Right. I mean, they've gone from elite in almost every category, being, 1-5, to now we're seeing signs of like 7th. Like this year, I think they're like 7th in first downs. Last year they were first.
I really believe this is more or less going according to plan for Bill Belichick, in the sense that he's like, "Well, I told you this was going to happen. I saw it coming, and no one wanted to believe me." But I guess we'll see. If they lose to the Bills this week, then it's all over. Then you got to wonder, does Brady retire? Like, if they go 10-6 only going to get worse.
Here's the thing. All right. The miracle in Miami doesn't happen. They're 10-4. Nobody's talking about it. And if they just lost to Pittsburgh, they'd say, all right, Pittsburgh's a playoff team. Brady also had three major drops in that game, and he also had another just lapse of judgment, and he just threw that ball just not enough out of bounds. And obviously the last play of the game where he fades away. But then there's a coaching decision there where Cordarrelle Patterson's on the field. He played 6 offensive snaps, and Josh Gordon, who played like 58, wasn't on the field for that last play.
There's a weird thing where stuff like that worked for the Patriots every year I've been alive.
I think they're out.
Or every year I think
they're
out coached.
No, I think this year they're out coaching themselves. And this year it hasn't been. They're out coaching themselves this year.
Maybe
they're overthinking things.
I think it's got a lot more to do with the players and the attitude now.
Well, I think
that Brady's created.
I mean, look what they got out of Cordarrelle Patterson this year, switching him to a running back, just getting those 5-6 yards. They've made some semblance
right.
with the players they've had, but still, I think it's a lot of it has to do with the coaching decisions. I think Brady's taken a ton of blame.
As he should, I believe.
I mean, he's gone from the best quarterback in the league to maybe the 6th.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Probably.
I mean, he may not be good enough to just rely on Tom now.
Much criticism of Brady.
Way too much.
At least his play. It's like, come on. The guy's 41 years old, and he's still a moderately successful NFL quarterback that's going to make the playoffs. Let's not rip him too much. It's a little crazy.
He's still completing 65% of his passes.
Mutt compared him to Jordan on the Wizards this morning or something like that. And that's insanity.
I mean, that's actually not terrible, because Jordan with the Wizards was still putting up numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
I understand what he's saying. In his twilight years, he's showing.
But Brady's
he's
playing the most important
has.
Position and still going to win a division.
Right.
So,
well, it's the East.
How is that for sports talk, folks? Am I Felgren Maz worthy? Could I fill in for Tony Maz someday, Mike? Wouldn't that be great? Now here's more of a trash talk topic: is the Tucker Carlson thing. We can play the clip real quick. It's not even so much the clip I wanted to talk about as it is a discussion I had with Patrick Gilroy over the weekend. His name keeps coming up for some reason. Patrick Gilroy runs Trash Talk. He's the puppet master of Trash Talk. All roads end with Gilroy for some reason. But this is the clip that got Tucker Carlson. His advertisers have started pulling out. I think we might be up to 4 advertisers have pulled out now. Something like that. And this is one of the clips.
Instead, our leaders demand that you shut up and accept this. We have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, they tell us, even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided. Huddled masses yearning to breathe free? Nope. Cynical shakedown artists who've been watching too much CNN.
Tucker Carlson.
Hey, that was, oddly enough, That last voice you heard was Pete Gustin. What are the chances? So, Tucker Carlson, first of all, if you listen to the entire content, we just don't have time to play the entire 3-minute clip or whatever it is. I believe what Tucker Carlson is saying is talking more in the grand scheme of the country rather than calling individuals dirty. But take it as you want, whatever. Everyone tells me you gotta know in this day and age that's how people are going to take it. So fine. Maybe it was a dumb thing for Tucker Carlson to say.
He's a regular Don Imus.
Yeah, right. What I would say to guys like Gilroy, and I think Gilroy might have misunderstood what I was saying. What I was trying to say was that no matter what, and I say this all the time, and people just don't listen to me, no matter what, if you're a talk show host or a guy who's paid to give his opinion, you should be defending stuff like this unless you think Tucker Carlson is truly an awful racist. And you've always said that before. Because I don't believe one comment where you use, you know, the wrong word or it sounds bad as a clip, I don't believe that proves someone to be a racist. So unless you always thought Tucker Carlson was this awful racist who should be off television, if that's the case, then yeah, get him off television. Who needs that on a national cable news network? But I don't believe that clip should change your entire opinion of Tucker Carlson, because it's not his opinion. It's one word that you're focusing on. What people are focusing on is the fact that he said dirtier. And it's like, okay, that's probably the wrong word. It might be you can even say it's a dumb thing for him to say. But what should the punishment for that be? Should it be that he should lose his show, that he should lose all his advertisers, that everyone on that show should lose their job? I don't think so. I think what the punishment should be is have someone on Tucker Carlson's show, the way he does every week, and have them debate, like, hey, what makes you think that? And he would either say, well, this is why I think immigrants are dirty, or he would say, no, what I meant was this, and explain his point. So people say, what did he really lose? One advertiser dropped out. Two advertisers dropped out. There are only three or four dropped out. Well, first of all, you see that number building. That eventually ends up with fire Tucker Carlson. Fox News has stood by him, which I think they should do. But you saw it here with Minahan, where at first, yeah, maybe it's only one advertiser drops out, but eventually it's, this guy needs to go. We got to get this guy off the air. And what I want guys like Gilroy to understand is that advertisers don't drop out of shows because they're offended by the content. At least 99% of the time. They drop out of shows because people call up and say, hey, we're not going to support this product anymore if you keep advertising with Tucker Carlson. Ooh, we're going to take it away. We're going to stop making you money now. And then it becomes, now you've let a troll, you've let some asshole on Twitter dictate what you as a company do and how you reach your clientele.
Kind of sounds like what's going on between me and you and Twitter right now.
What do you mean?
your Twitter, your gearhead's coming after me and making your decision.
My gearhead.
It's the same exact thing.
No, it isn't.
How?
Because that is my entire fan base saying, thanks, but no thanks. We've heard your offer, and we are refusing. Whereas, usually with advertisers, it's a vocal minority.
Strikingly similar, but
I disagree. I think it is a vast majority.
What if I get 20 people that say they like me?
Well, bring 20, baby.
20 leadheads. I'm going to bring 20 leadheads. And they will outnumber your gearheads. Yes.
You might want to watch for paint chips. I think the leadheads are eating a lot of paint chips.
I ate too many as a child. So.
Yeah. But no, kidding aside, of course. What the advertisers do is they hear a vocal minority and they pull up. So we shouldn't be saying, hey, what did he really lose? It's one advertiser. We should be encouraging the advertisers to stick with Tucker Carlson. Because if they believe that their demographic watches that show, then nothing changed in that one day. Tucker Carlson didn't all of a sudden become an awful racist. He's the same guy on Thursday that he was on Monday. So we need to start encouraging advertisers to stick with shows. And I think if you're a guy who's paid to give his opinions on the radio or on TV, you should be all for that, no matter what the asshole said. You might hate Tucker Carlson, and that's perfectly fine. Don't watch his show. That's what should lead the advertisers to pulling out. It should be, okay, well, this month there was a 15% dip in Tucker Carlson's ratings. Whether that was because of the immigrant comment, or because his show sucks now, or because of something else, that's why we were pulling out in advertising. Not because one guy on Twitter said he was bothered by the phrasing of something. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Right. I mean, there does need... That's an offensive thing he said.
Why?
He's signaling out a whole group of people, calling them dirtier.
Is he, though? Is that what he
I know,
meant?
I understand, but you got to think about the people who just get the headline of that and to the masses who...
Well, they're idiots. We shouldn't keep encouraging
that. But that just perpetuates...
No. We shouldn't keep encouraging reading a headline and forming an opinion. The advertisers should say, no, look into this for a second. Listen to the entire clip, see what he meant, then come back to us and tell us what you
thought. That's a lot harder than people just seeing...
Well, sure,
Tucker Carlson.
It's a lot harder.
That's what's going to happen.
It's a lot harder to understand things and be educated on them than to just go, he's a racist piece of shit. But I'm saying we shouldn't live in that world anymore. And if everyone who said, well, what are you going
to
do? That's the world we live in.
I don't disagree, but you
need to have a consequence. If everyone changed their tune and started speaking up a little bit, then we wouldn't live in that world anymore.
He needs to have a consequence.
Kevin Hart would still be on the Oscars.
Right.
Mika Brzezinski wouldn't have to give that awful fucking apology. And this is more proof that I defend both sides, is that last week I defended Mika Brzezinski. This week I defend Tucker Carlson. I don't give a fuck if you're a Republican or a Democrat or who you voted for. It's if you're someone who's paid to give their opinion, I believe you should be given some room. And if the fans say, hey, we're not watching anymore, and there's evidence of that, that's when it should be merit-based. It shouldn't be based on what guy is offended or what girl is offended.
Yeah, but when you make a mistake like that, there does need to be some kind of consequence. Not getting his show taken away, but...
No, the consequence should be a debate with someone who disagrees.
A debate? I think he should be suspended.
Where Tucker Carlson doesn't control it. How about that? Because the reason Tucker Carlson is hilarious is because he controls the debate and makes people look like an idiot. That's why he's great.
But see, this is what Fox will do. They'll bring someone who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, and Tucker Carlson speak circles around him.
Well, that's what
him.
I'm saying. They shouldn't.
But on what news network is going to host that?
Whoever.
It's going to be Fox?
It could be. And you know what?
I think you suspend him for a month.
If they did it in a phony, shitty way, then again, the fans could say, hey, we didn't like that, and now we're not watching anymore. And then the advertisers say, hey, we're backing out now.
I don't think it was a career-threatening comment.
No,
but
obviously not.
I think if Fox wants to just save face and just say, hey, we're not taking the show away, but we're going to have him off for a month. He'll offer an apology,
and then
we'll go from here.
That's crazy. The real crazy thing was that Mika Brzezinski apology. Like, the lady that said butt boy that we talked about
butt
last week?
Butt boy, yes.
I am horribly, I am sincerely sorry for using that awful word. And it's like, let's fucking relax.
Right.
It's a word every asshole throws out in the proper context
all the time. Epithets.
You're not a monster, Mika. Stick up for yourself.
Right. Of all the epithets to use against a gay person, I don't think that was the worst one.
Certainly not.
There are many worse words.
But it wasn't against a gay person.
Right, but like just
it was against just a guy.
The phrasing she used, it could have been much worse.
Sure. And then one thing I wanted to talk about real quick, because it's near and dear to my heart. I often reference an episode I did at the end of August where I talked about my own depression and stuff like that, and we talk about Pete Davidson a lot on the show, and Pete Davidson put an Instagram post out that was basically like, hey, I know you guys don't want me here. Don't worry, I won't be around much longer. And then deleted his Instagram. And people have given Pete Davidson a lot of shit over the last couple months, and a lot of shit for that. And to that, I would say... you know, just be careful of that, because I was going through what Pete Davidson is probably going through on a much smaller scale a few months ago, where I was fucking horribly depressed. I would throw shit on Twitter like, this is the end for me. You know, vague shit where everyone was like, hey, you all right, man? I get what he's going through. And it's tough to have people push a camera in your face every day and, you know, be okay with that. And that all happened at once for Pete Davidson. And it's kind of sad to see the way he's handled it. But I would say there's you know, there's a lack of sensitivity to guys like Pete Davidson, but there's also too much the other way now, where we almost promote the thoughts that Pete Davidson is having. Like, I saw there was some study done on that show, 13 Reasons Why, or whatever it's called, on Netflix, where that's actually increasing the rate of suicidal thoughts in vulnerable teenagers. And, you know, I don't know how accurate that study is, but I believe it 100%. Just because I think the amount we are encouraging that discussion, I don't know how to phrase this right, because I think the discussion is important, that when you're going through stuff like that, you should talk about it. But it's almost now encouraged to have those thoughts among young people. And it shouldn't be like, hey, everyone just let Pete Davidson have those thoughts. That's what happens. It should be, let's try and encourage Pete Davidson to get better, and let's look at the reasons he's like that. Maybe it's because we're all awful cunts that shove a camera in his face and say, why'd you break up with Ariana Grande? As if it has any impact on our lives. How can you make a joke about a guy with an eye patch? Hey, let's all maybe reel that instinct in for a second and say, well, that's why Pete Davidson's in that condition. Not everyone's going to get like that, and I don't think you should treat him with kid gloves. But when someone is like that, I don't think you should say, oh, good, he made fun of a guy with an eye patch, and he broke up with America's sweetheart. Maybe take it back a few notches. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I just wanted to throw my my 2 cents in the Pete Davidson ring. And the real thing I thought that was kind of shitty was, I don't know if you saw, Ariana Grande, when he was going through all that, Ariana Grande tweeted out, put on Twitter. I'm guessing she has Pete Davidson's number. They were engaged, right, so it's possible that they crossed paths on via cell phone once. She tweeted, I'm downstairs. She showed up at 30 Rock, like where SNL is, and said, I'm downstairs if you need me, Pete. I'm here for you. And it's like, hey, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about, where it's like, don't use this guy's depression,
right,
to make it look like you're this great, hey, I'm here for you.
Because she knows there's going to be 50 articles about that one.
Not only 50 articles, then TMZ shows
right
up, and all these cameras show up. Now Pete Davidson can't leave work.
Because she's a douche.
Because you decided to console him on social right media, rather than sending him a text like, hey, you all right, man?
Yeah, quick text, just like, hey, I'm downstairs if you want to yeah talk.
Like,
we're
do
in the
not
same building.
Think that, like, the cameras were already there? Like, obviously they're already there. Everyone's like, is he dead? Is he going to be at work today? Like, I
no,
think,
but Ariana Grande only added to that.
When did she become America's sweetheart, too?
Well, she's being attacked by everybody that's, like, accusing her of causing his depression. And
well,
so obviously
she shouldn't be accused of causing his...
She has to show her support for him.
She shouldn't... Yeah, but does she have to do that on Twitter?
Well, like, obviously she does, because people are saying, like, oh, it's your fault that you broke his heart and now he's depressed.
Well, then maybe if it's her fault and she's worried about that, maybe she shouldn't show up and be like, hey, it's me. You know the girl that broke your heart? I'm right here.
Right.
You want to talk to me of all people?
Well, what is she supposed to do then?
Nothing.
Just say
step away.
Nothing.
Step away from the poor guy.
She's supposed to do nothing. Shoot him a text and say, hey, I hope you're all right. I'm here if you need me. That's what she should do.
But she had to make it this public spectacle.
But yeah, it had to be, hey,
everybody's attacking her.
Guys, look at me. I'm giving old Pete a... Well,
but
then maybe she shouldn't
have, she didn't even
maybe she shouldn't have put
part
a guy in a dumb blonde wig in her music video. You know what I mean? She, you know, I don't know. It was shitty, and that's what I thought about it, but...
I think it was very self-serving for her to put that.
Absolutely.
If she wanted to say something in support of him on
right
Twitter, like not, I'm here right now, come
hey
here.
Hey, guys,
cameras,
lay off,
come here.
Lay off Pete Davidson. Like,
right.
Lay off Pete. He's at a tough time. I still love him. Whatever the fuck
exactly
you want
to say. She's a public figure, and she does need to make public, you know, if she,
right,
with this situation. Wasn't,
hey, come on over. Film me and Pete interacting, hopefully. I found that to be very shitty. But
Caitlin,
I like you perking up there. I like that. We'll have a pop culture segment from now on with Caitlin.
I know. That's my forte.
Really got your dander up. Now, for the segment that everyone waits for every time Colin is in.
Oh, boy.
What's the matter?
I hate this.
What's he's a little sweaty.
It's fucking hot in here.
It's brutally hot in here.
Not just
there's been
we're
sweat
up, it's
dripping.
It's literally hot.
It is hot. I
said we should have taken our shirts off. You disagreed.
Well, I'm not in the shape that you are, friend. But in the other studio, it's freezing cold,
right,
and it says, if you're cold in here, put on a sweater. That's what it says next to the broken thermometer. In here, it's brutally hot.
It's got to be 90 degrees right now.
But, nonetheless, you know, for the segment that everyone waits for each time Colin is on, it is Get the Let Out with Colin Letty.
Fuck you.
Where Colin gives us
wacky
a preview
tip.
Of what you can find on his program.
No, no, no. I hate this because you set me up on this platter. You know,
yeah, no,
no one.
That's
on
very
you.
Mean of me. It's very mean of me to say, hey, here's an entire
you know
segment of my show. What
you
am
know
I doing?
What you're doing.
What am I doing?
No one's gonna like this, no matter what I say.
That's not true.
No one would like it.
What do you mean?
At least for in your in your
if it was entertaining, everyone would just lie to me for no reason.
But even if it was entertaining, they wouldn't like it.
You're wrong about that.
Because you're because
this
the
is
gear
a very open-minded group. The gearheads are
the
very
gearheads are very
group.
Anti-Letty, and I'm okay with that
because they've tasted the dish that you've served them, and they've gotten food poisoning each time.
Yeah, but you make it like this huge, like, hey, look at this, guys. This is really gonna suck. But let's
I
give them five.
That. I've never
you
once
didn't
said.
Have to say it. The gearheads are just on that level with
well,
you.
They're
where
an intuitive
they
bunch.
Know. They're an intuitive bunch. I'll give them that.
So what do you want to talk about this week?
I want to talk about your shitty Christmas plans.
What
that's that's what I want to talk about
okay.
because.
Oh damn!
All right, hear this. Mike's family.
Hey, Andre Drummond is in the room. You don't have to talk like that.
All right. Mike had a great opportunity to go with his family to the Bahamas.
Yes.
And you declined?
Yeah, no thanks.
See, that's why you're the Grinch.
Can
you're
I go
the Grinch.
Inside?
Why?
Because your parents offered to bring you there and you just say no. Why? Why would you not go?
Well,
you guys celebrated Christmas, what, a couple of days ago, you said?
Sunday, yeah.
What a ridiculous thing. They're like, are you sure you don't want to go to the Bahamas with us on Tuesday? And you're like... No.
No, I'm all set.
No, I'm all set.
Well, I'll tell you why. First, I still hold this pipe dream that, well, I figure if no one is in this building, if there is literally no one here
oh
for 2 weeks,
God.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe they'll have me on it. No, but the real reason is, that, I mean, that is part of it that I kind of want to be available when
I'm actually
going to
be mad
vacations.
At you if you stayed here.
What?
Because... You're hoping to get a phone call next week sometime.
Well, it sounds
a
lot
kidding?
Sadder.
They don't call you.
It sounds a lot sadder. But
it does sound sad.
It's very sad, Mike. It's very sad.
No, it isn't sad, and I'll tell you why. Because you look at guys like Greg Dickerson, who when they call him, he's not available. So it's like, hey, this happened to me. It literally happened to me in February, where they said, hey, can you come in? Now's your chance. You can be on Kirk and Callahan. And I was like, nope, I'm away. Sorry. So I didn't feel like doing it. But the real reason is, and you know, my family, take them or leave them. They're all right.
Take them. Bahamas free trip.
They're nice enough people. Well, I have a girlfriend now. So I didn't. I'd rather be around her than
the Bahamas
than those people.
Have you seen the weather outside right now?
Yeah, it's shit.
It's brutal
shit weather.
Are you going to your girlfriend's
for Christmas?
For Christmas?
Oh no.
You're not even gonna go to her.
No.
You're not even going to her house for Christmas.
No.
What the fuck?
No. I'll be,
what if you don't get the call?
Call
where does she live?
Oh boy, do we want to know?
Where do her parents live?
Yeah, like where would she
I
celebrate?
Say, but you know, like roughly 45 minutes away from me.
45 minutes?
Yeah.
Go to the.
Now
girlfriend.
You're just trying to be outraged. Now you're just repeating.
No.
Now
no,
you're
no.
repeating things that I say that aren't that crazy.
No.
45 minutes.
I thought you were gonna say like in Western Mass or something or something far where you couldn't get here. 45 minutes, you could Uber back here if needed.
Right, which is why I'm sticking around. Why? Yeah. Which is why I'm not going to the Bahamas. I think that makes sense. And I think the gearheads would understand that logic.
Now, sad thing to hear.
No, it became not the real reason I was going once I had a meeting with Zarbana.
Okay.
And I was like, I guess I can go to the Bahamas for 12 years.
12, yeah.
And it won't have any impact
never
on
come
my
back.
Life. But before that was my legitimate logic. And I think that makes sense. And I think that you don't see that is why you only have a segment on this podcast instead of an actual podcast.
Instead of the
yeah. So that's what I would
all
say.
All right, yes, you have the 0.1%. To get on Tuesday.
What do you mean? No, not on Christmas Day. I mean for the 2 weeks surrounding it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going for 2 weeks.
They're going. My parents are down there for... I can go later if I want. So my stepdad owns a paving company. APMI Paving and Maintenance.
Oh.
Shout
Massachusetts,
out.
Connecticut, all your paving and maintenance needs,
well,
folks.
Nice.
So in the winter, they don't have shit to do. And they've gotten to a place in life where I guess they can just bon voyage for 6 months or 4 months, whatever the hell it is.
Months?
Well, that's the thing.
Four months.
They're going for a while.
Can we go?
Yeah, you
yeah, yeah, can we? Can I take your place?
Yeah, you guys can go.
Caitlin?
They'd love to have
I'm
you.
Not kidding. I'm
they'd love to have you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Caitlin would love to go down with you as well. So that's the other thing is I need to work. Unlike them, who can apparently just jet off to wherever the fuck they feel like. I actually need to work because I don't leech off my parents like some people.
Are you accusing me of leeching off my parents?
I actually wasn't.
Sorry.
I wasn't saying that. I just mean I'm not like that.
Okay.
Like maybe former guests of the show. I don't do that. So I actually need to work was the other thing. I make shit money, so I can't really afford to take
it. And they put you on every week?
They sure do. They sure do. So that's pretty much it. Yeah, no Christmas for old Mikey.
Do you want to come to my house for Christmas?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm all set.
What could I get you as a Christmas
sounds like
gift
an awful
that would
experience.
Make you happy?
Nothing. You could not show up in the next... You could not ask me to do this podcast anymore. That'd be...
Well, I can't do
be
that.
Be a great... God forbid. That'd be
would
a
you
great
say game. You're a bah humbug? Is that how it's pronounced?
It's how it's pronounced.
Are you a Scrooge?
I don't think it's a noun. No, I'm not a Scrooge. I don't mind. You know,
Do you like Christmas?
I got everyone a gift.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
It's a lot more work than
mom?
It's worth. I got her and my stepdad a nice bottle of wine and a restaurant gift certificate.
No. Yeah. There we go. It's nice of you.
Yeah, I'm a hell of a guy. I'm a hell of a son.
All right.
I scraped some pennies together to get. Oh, hey, here's a gift. Hey, go out to dinner on me. Now have fun in the Bahamas, gang.
They invited you. I don't feel bad.
I know they did.
You do have a tree in your house. I'll give you that.
I know they did. Yeah. Oh, I have the works. The tree. There's a sign downstairs in the apartment below me that says, "Hope has no home here." All the makings of.
What? Kind of evens out your tree.
No, the guy when we moved in, we saw that. So we live in the top two floors of a house. And it's like one of those multifamily homes, and the apartment below us is one level. And in his window, there's a sign that says, "Hate has no home here."
Oh, I thought you said hope has no home here.
Oh, I might have said that. Hope has no home here.
So depressing.
In this studio.
That's what I was going to say.
Hope has no.
That sign belongs in here.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't go home with
on
hope.
On T-shirts that you wear.
Hate has no home.
Honestly. Don't go home with hope would be a nice trash talk t-shirt.
Jesus Christ.
Mark that up, Caitlin. That's your next job. By the way, and I'll say this for Christmas time. Caitlin, of the three producers I've had with trash talk, Caitlin's the best one.
Well,
easily.
Damn.
There wasn't going to be any studio space today. Caitlin muscled Ordway's fat ass out of here. She stood up to Lou and Christian and said, "Beat it, twerps." And Caitlin got us this studio.
You think Jared would have been able to do
that? No, hell no.
No?
No, no.
Would he have tried?
No. He would have told me he did.
Right.
So, yeah, I tried. Dan would have left this morning. So yeah, no, Caitlin's the only one that would have done that. And I appreciate you, Caitlin.
Absolutely.
Now, don't quit on me and unfollow me on Twitter for some bizarre reason.
Block you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hey, right. What would you get me for Christmas?
Nothing. See you next week, folks. Actually, no. Caitlin, will you be around next week? Yeah. Maybe the last trash talk of the year, gang.
Hey, you know I'll be here.
Wait.
With bells on.
Next year.
Maybe last trash talk of 2018. We will see you next year, folks. And please, I appreciate all the support you've given me this year. 2018's been a hell of a ride for the gearheads. And I mean that only in the sense that that term didn't exist last year, at least in regards to me. So thank you guys very much for supporting the show and all that. Keep giving us those 5-star ratings. Ooh, I love them. We've gotten a lot over the last few weeks. And keep that train rolling, baby. Even if you listen on WEI.com. Go to the iTunes page. Give us the old 5-a-roo. And positive review. Tell the world how much you love me. And tell Minahan I don't have any other fucking options. We've gone back and forth on Twitter a little bit. He's dragging his feet in this meeting I might have with him. I've got nothing else, Kirk. I need you, baby. So tweet Minahan and say, "Save this poor disabled guy's life." Throw that in there. Make him feel guilty. Because it's all I've got. At blindmike_ if you want to include me in those tweets. And what is your Twitter, sir?
At Leds12, LEDDS12.
Yeah, that's the account you probably won't be following, but you can if you want. And that's it. Thanks, everyone. See ya next year.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the Radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.